Okay, without much ado, let's go to the subject of today. The anointed ones at the end time. Can we have the, thank you. The anointed ones at the end time. All the teachings of this morning are in the picture above. It says so much, it means so much. We are the bride of Christ. We are not concubines, we are bride. Let the bride shout hallelujah. Please, before you respond, think well, am I a bride or a concubine? Let the bride shout hallelujah. Okay, let the concubines praise the Lord. Oh, there is no concubine here. Can we put our hands together for our God? We are the end time. And when we say we are the end time, like I always say, and like we've said several years, our overseer said, teachers in the church have said, whenever we say end time, we don't say it sentimentally. We say it by knowledge, by revelation. Several times I've referred to one of the big pastors in this church, one of the big pastors in this country, rather, who, when COVID-19 started talking about end time, how that the rapture will take place in 2026. Made calculation, this, that. I wonder what he will be saying to his congregation now. We are in 2026 and his ministry is still on. Probably they missed the rapture. This particular pastor, God is good. He doesn't say anything about end time rapture before. But as soon as COVID-19 came, him and several others like him became all of a sudden spiritual. Now, they started talking about end time, but not by revelation. But when you come to Bride Assembly Church, when we tell you end time, we prove it from the Bible. When we say we are the end time, it's by revelation. End of what? Not even the end of the world. We are talking of the end of the church ages. In the book of Revelations 2 and Revelations 3, you see seven churches there. They are not normal churches. They are not just local churches. They signify the seven period that the church of Jesus will go through. From the day the church was planted on Pentecost to the day the church will be harvested in the rapture. We are now at the end of that program. God's program, God's agenda to pick a people for his name from among the Gentiles. So when we say end time, always ask end of what? Because even after we go in the rapture, time will continue for a little while. Time will continue for about 7 years. One of the reasons why we believe that there is nothing dramatic about the rapture. Because things will continue. They may know that some people are missing, but as to rapture has taken place, believe me, you, nobody will know. They may be looking for you that, where is brother, where is sister Gifts? Where is sister Agatha? She's talking about rapture. Sister Gifts was talking about rapture. We have not seen her. She did not resume in work. They will call people that they think you know who are on earth. What you say, I've not seen now. So yes, there may be announcements made for missing persons. But let me tell you, anyone that is not ordained to go in the rapture will not see you going. They only discover that you are missing. Because after the rapture, things will continue. When Lot came out of Sodom, things continued until the fire fell. When Noah entered into the ark, he stayed in the ark 7 days before the rain fell. Are we together? So when the rapture takes place, life continues. So when we say end of God's program to get a people for himself from among the Gentiles. Let's see the scripture. Acts chapter 15 from verse 13. Acts chapter 15. And after they availed their peace, James answered saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. What did God visit the Gentiles for? To take out of them a people for his... One of the reasons we baptize in a name. And to this agree the words of the prophet as it is written. After I have taken a people from among the Gentiles, I will return and build what again? That means he will go back to Israel after he has taken from among the Gentiles a people for his name. Once the rapture takes place, the gospel returns back to Israel. He said, I will build again the tabernacle of David which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Verse 18, finally, known unto God are all his works from the foundation, from the beginning of the world. Praise the living God, church. So that is it. End of this program, end of this agenda, to get a people for his name, to get a bride for his son. End of the program to pick a people from among the Gentiles. We are now at the end of that program. So therefore, we must understand the anointed ones at the end time. We must understand the anointed ones at the end time. This is something we've said severally in this church, but sometimes we need to repeat certain teachings so that we'll be established. Praise the living God. Now, let's see something. The picture of the church at the end time. There is nothing happening in the church that the Bible did not give prophesy about. There is nothing happening in the church of Jesus that the Bible did not tell us about before it even started. So whatever is happening in the church is not unknown to God. God has prophesied about it. It's in the Bible, and he will reveal it to his people. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24. We know that scripture. Let's read it. Verse 30 is the emphasis, but let's start from verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put it forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, this field is the church. Are we together? This field is the church. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the house that came and said unto him, sir, is not thou so good seed in thy field? When the church was planted on the day of Pentecost, it was planted with good seeds. When you see brother, it was brother indeed. When you see sister, it was sister indeed. Not brother. Not brother, then in your heart you are saying, I hope this one is a brother. The Bible says that no people could not join them. And it was only those that were ordained to salvation that God was adding to the church. So the church was made up of pure seeds of God. But in the process of time, the enemy of revival, Satan, came and did what? Planted tares among the wheat. Just as he messed up Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he did the same in the church of Jesus. Now they're saying, did you not sow good seed in your field? From whence then art it tares? He said unto them, who has done it? Who has done it? An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, okay, without them that we go and gather them up. But he said, no. Lest while you are gathering up the tares, you also root up the wheat with them. So the Lord allowed the mixture in the church. Let both grow together until when? The harvest time is the end time. Because you are harvested either into the barn or into the fire. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the who. Please take note of that word. I will say to the who? The reapers. Who are the reapers? Let me use the word harvesters. Are we together? The reapers are the harvesters. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together, first the tares, bind them in bundles, to do what? To burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Praise the living God. That is what is happening at the end time. The mixture was done in the process of time, after the death of the apostles. Even from the days of the apostles, Satan was trying to infiltrate the church. The tares were sown, but the master of the church said, no, leave them. That in the time of harvest, at the end time, I will send ministers, laborers, harvesters, reapers, that will go and walk my field. So please note something from where we read. The ministers at the end time are called reapers. Is somebody with me? If you understand me, shout hallelujah. Sisters, your hallelujah is low. Thank you. The ministers at the end time, they are harvesters. They are reapers. So every minister in the church of Jesus today is a reaper. Every minister, especially in the fivefold order, is a reaper, is a harvester. And you have two kinds of reapers. The reapers of the wheat and the reapers of the tares. There are those that are sent to gather the wheat, to harvest them. And there are those that are sent to harvest the tares. Let's move on. Next slide. Those are the two categories of ministers at the end time. Please pay close attention. We are looking at the anointed ones at the end time. So what's the lesson we are learning from here? The two categories of ministers at the end time are the reapers of the tares and reapers of the wheat. Please note that all ministers and all ministries fall into these two categories. Every pastor you want to mention their name now, is either a reaper of the wheat or a reaper of the tares? Mention one. I will not give you mic. Just mention one. Is either a reaper of the wheat or a reaper of the tares? Mention another one. No, I'm not going to tell you who is who. It is you that will fill in the gap. You want to hear from my mouth that Abacha has died? Is a reaper of either the wheat or a reaper of the tares? Is a reaper, okay, that one. That, you said Pastor Mozalu. Is a reaper of either the wheat or a reaper of the tares? All ministers, all ministries, whether you call it prayer ministry or this, that, fall into these two categories. There is no in-between. There is no middle ground between them. Everyone that calls himself a servant of God in this generation, whether truly called by God or called by his stomach or appointed by his father-in-law or his father, falls into these two categories. Everyone that comes out to say, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus, a minister of Christ, falls into these two categories. Is either a reaper of the tares or a reaper of the wheat? Please note that. We move on. Praise the living God. Now, why are we doing this study? This is the main reason why we are doing this study of the anointed ones at the end time. A true servant of God, or a servant of God in right standing with God, cannot be identified by the gifts of the Spirit only. Hey, do you know that you can go to the denomination? Do you know that in Select Church there are true prophets? In Select Church, that will give you prophets and it will come to pass. But you have prophets in Bride Assembly, so what's the difference? Are you thinking? Why are people going to, if there is no sugar there, the ants will not go. Why do you think people are running to a ministry like Zion behind us? There's something there. Don't say there is nothing there. The guy is anointed. There is something there. Are you with me? Don't say, it's not arrange, except you know. We know that there are those who do arrange, who want to help God. But I can tell you that the gifts of the Spirit are not unique to us only. Other people have them. Other people have the people baptizing in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are anointed. The days we used to go to mountains, you will see mommy geos, women, prophetess, their own churches. And you see them with people, maybe their church or people they brought for prayer. If there is nothing there, the ministry will not stand now. There is something there. So when we are talking about the anointed ones at the end time, look beyond the gifts. Look beyond the gifts. Both concubines and the bride have the gifts. Evidence that you are in right standing with God is not the gift of the Spirit. Both concubines and bride have it. In fact, there's a scripture that God gave Israel, a statement God made to Israel, Deuteronomy 13 from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13 from verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder. Now, see the interesting thing about this. He says, and the sign or the wonder does what? You mean that person that you say is in error? He gave me a message. It happened. That man, that woman that he's saying is error, I went to their church. I got delivered. He said, it come to pass. Whereof he spake unto the saying, let us go after other gods, which thou was not known, and let us serve them. What I'm bringing out from there is that, if you read on to verse 5, you understand it, is that the gifts of the Spirit can operate anywhere. Do you know about Balaam? Balaam was not an Israelite. Balaam, in Numbers 22, 23, 24, 25, the Bible called him a soothsayer. But there was something about Balaam that even the king of Moab said, I know that whosoever you curse is cursed, and whosoever you bless is blessed. Come and curse me these people. And what he said is true. How was Balaam cursing people? Do you know it was by the power of God? Who came to Balaam? The Bible said God came to Balaam and said, you will not curse these people, they are blessed. Balaam was operating under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and yet not connected to the God of Israel. So to know a minister in right standing with God, we are not looking at, the anointing we are looking at today is beyond the anointing of gifts. Whether the leadership gift of Ephesians 4:11 or the body gift of 1 Corinthians 12, anybody can have that. That is not what we are looking at. No matter how gifted and powerful a man of God is, it doesn't mean it's for the bride. The anointing doesn't fall in the area of gifts, but there is something we should understand. There is an area we need to see. There's an area we need to know where you'll be able to differentiate the anointed ones at the end time. Let's move on. Next slide. So the anointing upon all ministers in this generation. Please note my language. It's not rated in the terms of gifts. There is nothing we are doing here that is peculiar to us. In prophecy, in healing, in deliverance. The anointing on ministers in this end time is not rated in the terms of the gifts, but in the terms of the Spirit working with them. Now, to understand this clearly, let's see a story. We all know it. The story of Esther. Esther chapter 2 from verse 8. This time around, our emphasis is not even Esther, but the two ministers in that picture. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of who? It's like it's only Mommy Agatha that is responding. To the custody of who? Sisters, what's happening? It's a class now. To the custody of who? No matter what I say, some sisters will not answer me. To the custody of Agai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Agai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification. We saw things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which are made to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not yet showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. We are reading, and Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with sweet and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of who? The king's chamberlain, which did what? What was Shahashgar's work? Agai's work was to prepare the queen. Shahashgar's was to keep the concubines. And both of them were servants of the king. Praise the living God. It is these two important personalities that we are looking at. We have Agai on one hand, we have Shahashgar's on one hand. Brethren, These are the classifications of the anointed ones at the end time. Don't look at the gifts. Don't look at the title of the office. That is not how you know the anointing on somebody. Because the gifts may be genuine and the person is not in right standing with God. Nothing says that it is only among the bride or people in righteousness that the gift will manifest. No. The Bible even says in Psalm 68 verse 18 that God giveth his gift to all men, even to who? The rebellious. But this is the classification of the anointed ones at the end time. You are either anointed with the spirit of a guy, or you are anointed with the spirit of Shah Ashgas. Are we together? The anointed ones at the end time are not identified by the gifts. They are identified by what they do, not by the authenticity of their gifts. Don't say that, because you received healing from this man of God, then that means he's on the right standing with God. Are you understanding me? I'm not speaking big grammar. Don't say that because he gave you a genuine prophecy and it came to pass, that means he's on the right standing with God. How you will know the anointing is not by what they do. It's not by the gifts, rather. We are not looking at the genuineness of the gifts. We are looking at the spirit upon them. He said that that spirit, please go back to the previous slide. The spirit of a guy or the spirit of Shashgas. So every minister that is doing any work of ministry in our generation is either anointed with the anointing of Agai or anointed with the anointing of Shah Ashgas. Don't forget that two of them were chamberlains, servants of the king. But one was to prepare the queen, and the other one was to do what? Keep the concubines. Are we together? And when we talk of Agai was the one that knew the mind of the king. A guy was the one that knew the mind of King Ahasuerus. That was why his duty was to get him a queen. How did Esther win the heart of the king? It was by subjecting herself to Agai. So in the true sense, the spirit of Agai is the spirit of truth. And the spirit of Shashgas is the spirit of error. Every man of God in our generation is either anointed with the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. And this is not known by the gifts they operate. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. Stop looking at the gifts. Stop looking at the gifts. You can receive deliverance in any church. There was one time that one church was reading in Bride Assembly, Divine Majesty, where it became like, when you come here, some spies were in the church that will tell you, go to one, I don't know where the church is. Ministers, you remember that name, Divine Majesty, Divine Majesty. I don't even know where it is, but it was raining amongst us here, because we had people in the church that will tell you, go to Divine Majesty for your deliverance. A sister came to my office on Thursday. I did not answer her because she's an old member. She reported to the overseer's PA that somebody in this church said she should go to Sele for her deliverance. So when the overseer's PA, he said that, please, quickly go and see Pastor Lumide. When she came, I said, now you... She's an old member. So, we have no... She might be hearing me now. I think you are here. I can see your daughter in the service. That one sounded funny to me because you have been here for over 10 years. You have been a worker in the church. You've been in prayer group. You are even in prayer band. You have been here for, so I didn't even take her. So I said, don't you know your right from your left? I'm sorry. That one I just dismissed her because I know that doesn't make any sense to me. I thought it was somebody who was just coming and somebody was trying to pollute your mind. The truth is, if you go to the cellar, you may be delivered though. You may be. That's the truth. The gift, the anointing, is not evidence of the right standing with God. What you should look at is not the gift, but the spirit upon them. If you are truly looking for a man of God, and if your desire is to go to heaven, please don't look at the gifts. Don't look at any anointing. It does like this. Things are happening. See, for people to remain consistent in a church, something is happening there. Don't you ever think that the anointing is fake. There are manifestations. It may not be like your own church, but let me tell you, something is happening. Once upon a time, there was this thing about winners. And you will not see any professor or anything. But what the man was teaching them was producing results in the life of the people. So you want to tell an average member of Living Faith that his pastor is false? No. They know what they're benefiting. They're encountering God. Some people went to the church, their lives changed, and you're not telling them that, forget that church you're going to. Don't talk against that gift or the power. The anointing is either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Are we together? The anointing we are looking at, so everyone at the end time, no matter the gift they operate. Okay, let me give you another shocker. We have had people in this church that even received the gifts in this church. Started from this church. Let me use some women as an example. Genuine gifts. Got it from Bride Assembly Church. But left the church and went to open a shop. Sorry, went to open a church. Not a shop, sorry. Went to open a shop. Spiritual shop. Called church. Now, the gifts, is it fake? God bless you. But the spirit upon her is what? That's charge gas anointing. That's charge gas anointing. It's error. So nobody is saying that those sisters that left Bride Assembly and having church, we are not saying that they feel see for you. I'm telling you the truth. If not, why did some people leave this church? So, there are some people here that still visit some of those churches. In this generation of Facebook, we see everything. A sister was here. Now she's a mommy Gio. And another brother and his wife are attending the church. So one day we saw the picture on Facebook with our rapture wash shirts where mommy Gio stood and they are sitting in the front. And their workers belong to prayer band and belong to Evangelica. And we are wondering that we had to call for them that was the issue. Whatever it is, we kept seeing them there. The next thing was to remove them from the workforce. We can't stop you from coming to church. But you cannot be in the workforce. That's the truth. You cannot be in the workforce. But we can't stop you. The church is a public place. Come. So, for her to remain in that kind of church, she has confirmed the genuineness of the gift of that woman. And the truth is that lady got her gift from here. She got her gift from here. I know her. But the spirit upon her, the anointing she's operating under is the anointing of Shahashgas. Why do I say so? The anointing of a guy will prepare the bride for the king. And now is that done? It is through the word of God. Revelation 19 says the bride has made herself ready. Revelation 19 verse 7. Let's read that scripture. What we are saying is basic, but as basic as it is, we need to be established in it. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Verse 8 is my emphasis. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Next slide. So we have the guy ministers, and we have the Shashgas ministers. Ministers anointed with the spirit of truth, and ministers anointed with the spirit of error. Regardless of the power they operate, regardless of the gift that manifest, please watch the spirit upon them. Watch the spirit they are anointed with. Not the anointing of the gift, but the spirit they are anointed with. Because the spirit of truth that we receive is an anointing. Maybe somebody is wondering why I'm using the word anointing. 1 John chapter 2. So that you understand where we get there from. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 26. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 26. It says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. 1 John 2, 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, like serpent seduced Eve. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye have no need that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, that anointing is what? That anointing is what? And is truth. So the anointing we are talking of is the spirit of truth. You understand me? The spirit of truth is an anointing. The spirit of error is also an anointing. So the ministers of God at this end time are either anointed with the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Praise the living God. Now let's understand the Haggai ministers more, because that's what concerns the bride. Haggai was the chamberlain that prepared the queen for the king. Haggai signifies the anointing of the spirit of truth. Let's understand it through the story of Cushi. How many of us know the story of Cushi? Okay, how many of us know the story of Ahimaaz? Church, how many of us know the story of Ahimaaz? Wow, we need to revisit some of these messages. So, many hands are not up. Many of us don't know the story of Ahimaaz. Please now, respond now. If you know the story of Ahimaaz, let me see your hand. Don't be shy. Not up to 50% of the church. That means we have to revisit it. You have not committed any crime. You have only given us more work. We have to revisit the story of Ahimaaz. If you don't know the story of Ahimaaz, look for the sermon titled Running Without a Message. It was one of the bombs that our overseer dropped. It is one of the nuclear bombs of this ministry. Running without a message. I'm so unhappy that many people don't know this story. It's a very interesting story. Please get that sermon. It will help you. So that you understand what Bride Assembly Church is. So that you understand who we are. We are not just any church. We are not just any church. We have a message. That is why we don't do things anyhow. Like one of the contents that our youth fellowship shared on Facebook. I saw the comment of some people. It was shown to me. That comment where all manner of vibes and all manner of things. Even the song, I had to listen very well to be sure it's a gospel song. Now, that is how it is in Christianity. See, we don't have to descend to the level of the world before we get the world to ourselves. If I have to be like you, then what's the difference between me and you? We have the songs of Zion. We have the things that we have, the life that the world cannot give. So when we are doing content, let's do content that reflects what we believe and stand for. We address it. I have a reason for saying this. The Haggai ministers are understood through the story of Cushi. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Okay, let's read from verse 9 so that somebody will understand this story properly. We know the story of Ahimaaz. But the truth is, there are two ministers in that story. Many a times we emphasize Ahimaaz, the one that ran without a message. But what about the one that ran with a message? What is his name? Cushi. And Absalom met the servants of David. You know the story. Absalom rebelled against his father, went to war. The servants of David went to fight Absalom and his servants. Now, let's read on. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and it was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a giddu. And the man said to Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. Why? For in our hearing, the king charged thee, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, come on, dear Joe. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. So what happened? The king's son is dead. Joab blew the trumpets and the people returned from pursuing after Israel. For Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled everyone to his tent. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had reared up a pillar for himself, which is in Kingsdale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it's called unto this day Absalom's place. From verse 19, this is where the story gets more interesting. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. What did he say? Father, send me. Lord, use me. Use me. Nations are waiting. Use me, O Lord. Let me now run. Let me go and start ministry. Let me go and open church. Let me now run and bear the king's tidings. How that the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. Joab, the Holy Spirit, said unto him, come, you will not bear tidings today. Another day you may run, but today you shall not bear tidings because the king's son is dead. There is another message for today. You cannot go because there is a message for today and you cannot bear that message. See verse 21. Was it Cushi that said, Joab, send me? He said, he, God, gave some. You don't desire a ministry. I want to be a prophet. I want to be an apostle. It is predestinated. Then said Joab to Cushi, go. Tell the king what? Oh, mommy, I wish I have dollar I would have given you because as you are responding, the fire is coming. Tell the king what? Did it start telling Cushi? Say it like this. Say it like this. That means there was something about Cushi. He had caught the revelation. He knew the message. They didn't need to school Cushi on what to say. He didn't tell him, when you get to the king, talk like this. If he asks for his son, then say this. He says, Cushi, go and tell the king what you have seen. Man of God, what have you seen? Before you ran to go and start church, what did you see? And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Let's read on so that you understand the story. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, my brother is a pastor. Me too, I must be a pastor. Let me, I pray thee, God must also use me. Father, if you don't use me, I will use myself. So I'll become apostle. Who made you apostle? Jesus or yourself? Let me also run. I must go. I must become a man of God. And why will you run? Is it by force to be a servant of God? You don't have tidings ready. You have not seen. You are not prepared for this ministry. I didn't school Cushi. There is something. There's an ability he has. He understood the message and he knows what to say to the king. You want to run. This is not the kind of message for you to run. The gospel is not to soothsay. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were shook in their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts. So if a man cannot handle the sword, what are you doing with the gospel? Everywhere, God is good. God is good. You know, God. Those are not the kind of people he's looking for. Howsoever said he, let me run. And he said unto him, okay, you have killed me with fasting. You have disturbed me with prayer. Too much camp and mountain. Okay, go. Hey, church, did Joab send him? Yes. Are you seeing the two anointed ones at the end? The same Joab that sent Cushi is the same Joab that sent Ahimaaz. If he did not give him the order to go, he would not have gone. You don't understand. This is military warfare. He knew the importance of taking order. Let me go. Because if he went without the order, in fact, that alone is bad. It's disorderly. He could be sanctioned for that. So Joab still told him, go. Two servants from the same God. One is with a message. The other is without a message. The spirit of truth. The spirit of error. Are you seeing Agai and Shashgas again? Cushi is who? Agai. Ahimaaz is who? So he ran. Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain. And did what? Hey, Ahimaaz overran Cushi. So who arrived first? Ahimaaz. But who was sent? Cushi. Who came first? Ahimaaz. But who had the message? Cushi. He overran. And David sat between the two gates. David is the church. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gates onto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. Ha! Two kinds of ministries. End time ministries. And the watchman said unto the porter, another man is running alone. And the king said, okay, he also bringeth tidings. Everybody is bringing something. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of who? So they could even describe him from far. Come as you are. God is a good God, you know. Maybe our daddy will address that. What Brother Ima Anupo was reporting to us on Friday. This is not the kind of the church where we tell you come anyhow. If you wear your ring inside this church, we ask you kindly, cautiously to remove it. And if you say no, we will tell you that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. We will let you know the reason why we have security and coordinators in the church. And the watchman said, me think you may get angry with me. It's because you've been listening to Ahimaaz. Me think the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said what? Hey, go back to verse 27. The king said what? He's a good man. And come with good tidings. So the ministers of Shashgas, nobody is saying they are bad. Eh? But being good doesn't mean you're in right standing with God. That men say you are good doesn't mean God is saying you are right. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, what was the message of Ahimaaz? Ahimaaz called and said to the king, what did he say? All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men. You see, worship that lifted up the hand against my Lord the king. That is why they have concerts, the experience, and this one and that one. There is an expectation. There was something the king was waiting for. You have come. You have told me what you have to offer. Now, what is the message? Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult. But what? They don't understand Calvary. They don't understand the process of salvation. They don't understand the divine agenda of God. And you say they are in right standing with God. Where a pastor will tell you that if you baptize in the name of Jesus, is the spirit of is the Antichrist spirit upon you. A big G.O. in this country. Will tell you that if you baptize in the name of Jesus, I read it, 2011, open, let me not mention the name of the devotioner. I didn't say anything, no. 2011, but that devotional is in 2011, February. He said, anybody that comes telling you this is Antichrist, run away from them. Baptism in Jesus' name, Antichrist. Please, what anointing is that man operating? Shashgas, Ahimaaz, error. But what did the king say unto him? The king said unto Ahimaaz, what did he say? Turn aside. Come on here. And he turned aside and stood still. Because your message cannot affect the king. But see the message of Cushi and see the effect. And behold, Cushi came. You see, those that have a message, they don't run like wildfire. Because there is a purpose. Eh? The churches that have a message, they are not looking for members, so they will not lower the standard of the gospel. They already have a revelation that if your name is not in the book of life, you can't be saved. So who will pamper you? Nobody will tell you, please, if they are after your pockets, They will pamper you to make you feel big. If they are after your soul, they will pierce you with the sword of the spirit. And behold, Cushi came and Cushi said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." Verse 32. And the king said unto Cushi, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushi answered, see maturity in the delivery of the message. "The enemies of my lord the king and all that arise against thee to do the earth be as that young man is." Verse 33. And the king was what? How many churches can you go to there that you'll be much moved? The king was what? Much moved. That means the message had an effect. He went up to the chamber over the gate and did what? And wept. He was much moved. So what are we seeing? This example is to also let you know the two kind of anointed ones at this end time. We have seen Agai. We have seen Shaashgaz. Also, Cushi and Ahimaaz. Are we together? The Shaashgaz ministers are like Ahimaaz. The gift is there. Please, don't look at the power or gift on any man of God. Forget it. The only thing you can investigate is if it is genuine power. Because we also know that in this generation, there's genuine, there's arranged, and there's demonic. Gifts and power, yes. There's genuine, there's arranged, there's demonic. But what we are saying, that even the authentic one, the original one, can operate under any kind of minister. What you should look at is the spirit upon them. What you should look at is whether they're anointed with the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. What you should look at is whether they are Ahimaaz or Cushi. Shaashgaz ministers are like Ahimaaz. No message at all. No message befitting for the season. If you study Ahimaaz properly, you will discover that before that time, he had delivered a message when Saul was... In the same 2 Samuel chapter 15. When David ran away from Jerusalem, Ahimaaz remained. The father of Ahimaaz remained. When Ahithophel gave a counsel, this is what we should do. And the friend of David, Hushai, gave another counsel to counter Ahimaaz' own. The person that ran to go and give David this news was Ahimaaz. So in the scheme of God, he knows which minister to use. But there is a specific message at a specific moment. This time around, there is something the king is expecting. This time around, there is something the church is expecting. We are looking at the rounding up of all things. So the kind of ministers that God will send to his bride in this generation are ministers that will prepare them for the harvest. That is why Ahimaaz cannot go now. It's not for Ahimaaz. There must be ministers that understand the season. He told Cushi, "Go and tell the church, go and tell the king what you have seen." He has seen the agenda. He has seen the program. And he knows how to deliver the message. But Ahimaaz did not even understand anything. And he's running. Yet, both of them were sent by Joab. So these are the anointed ones at the end time. People who understand the times and seasons, and people who don't even understand anything going on. Their own is, "Let God use me. I speak in tongues. I heal the sick. I deliver." You know, when they talk of revival, the average Pentecostal, right standing with God to them is power. The average Pentecostal, right standing, evidence of approval is power. Meanwhile, the Lord Jesus told us in Matthew 7:21. Let's see it. We know it is a popular scripture. "Not all that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me." What did they say? Lord. They cannot be lying here. That means they were actually servants. May God open our eyes. So, "Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth what? He that doeth what?" This scripture is more for ministers. Verse 22. This is why I say it is more for ministers. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name?" So it's not arranging. It's not occultic. It's genuine prophecy. "Have I not cast out devils in your name? Get over!" And the person goes, and, "Oh, Jesus has healed me in the name of Jesus. And in your name, have I not done many wonderful works?" But what did he say in verse 23? And then will I profess unto them. I did what? If David, after everything, should call Joab, please, who did you send unto me? Who would Joab say? Ah, it's Cushi I sent to. But Ahimaaz, me, send Ahimaaz. Are you understanding? I never knew you. Do you understand the illustration I just gave? Let's assume now everything has ended. And David is saying, I don't understand you, this general. How can you send to, why? Let's revisit our military mode of operation. Why did you send two messengers to come to me? I know. I only sent one person to deliver a message. Absalom, Joab will tell you, he sent himself. No, be me, Oga. It's true now. Because he went by the permissive will of Joab. So when the Lord Jesus said, I never knew you, are you seeing where they fit in? Are you seeing where they fit in? They will never be able to produce a bride for the Lord. Many ministers will end up in hellfire. Not just because, not an issue of fornication or lying or stealing, but because they were not in the perfect will of God. They were not in the right standing with God. Next slide, conclusion. Gifts, power, manifestations of the Spirit are not an evidence of right standing with God. That his prophecy is genuine, that the healing is genuine, that the anointing, the gift, the power is authentic, doesn't mean that man of God is in right standing with God. The end time church contains a mixture, wits and tares. So there must be separation. Ministers will be sent to the wits. Ministers will be sent to the tares. These ministers are called reapers. Those who will reap the tares and those who will reap the wits. And what they are doing is determined by the anointing upon them, which is either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. 1 John chapter 4. Let's see it. Verse 6. 1 John chapter 4. In fact, let's take it from verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6 finally. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. That's the apostles. The apostles of old, not these ones that are making themselves apostles. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So these two spirits, these two anointings are in the church. And they are not confirmed by the authenticity of any power or gifts. They are confirmed by what they are doing. They are confirmed by the trueness to the word of God. Final words, brethren. Know the anointing you follow. Apostle Paul said, prove all things. Know the man of God you subscribe to. Know the anointing you follow. Any question? Any question? Time will not allow me to break down this picture. But for those of us that need it, I think it will be uploaded on the net, on our archives rather.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a question I have.
Okay.
That time you are saying about apostleship and the another one, the gift of God. Somebody can have gift and anointing. Does not mean that he's
it's a right genuine standard.
Yes. There is somebody, I want to ask you this because it's confusing me. There is a place, a ministry I went before for years. So that ministry, there is somebody there, is a woman, is a lady, she have no marriage. So the lady, when I went there, I saw the lady on top of the pulpit. Everybody was bowing to the lady. They said that Jesus is inside her. That Jesus is talking inside her. So whenever the lady pick mic, everybody will be saluting, saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, yes, sir. They call the man old man. thy Jesus. So the man was, the lady was saying, when I was in the world, she's now saying as if that is Jesus that is saying inside her. When I was in the world, everybody was as if we have seen Jesus there. Whatever she say. And she's operating gift. So in this situation, is it Jesus, truly Jesus inside her? Is it Jesus that called her? Is it Jesus that is speaking through her?
If she's operating the gift of prophecy, then it has been misunderstood.
No, she's not. She when she talk, that is everybody has seen her. She's
no,
not the one
error.
That yes, that is Jesus that is talking. When no, she no. came up, everybody.
Hold on. My little understanding of spiritual gifts. Even here, we have people that operate the gift of prophecy, and when they talk, they don't speak in the third person. You hear God say, "I am." Now we know too well that it is a gift of the Spirit. So we are not saying, God has come inside the sister. So those people probably are ignorant of that. They don't have a proper teaching to know that it's just a gift of prophecy. Thus says the Lord, I am in your midst, I will do this. It happens, even last Sunday it happened. But you not see us carry the sister and say, God is here, then everybody come out. So they've turned a vessel of God and they've made idol worship of it. That's what they did. It's error. It might be a genuine gift of prophecy, but what they have done with it, they have corrupted it. They've idolized it because of the same spirit of error we are talking of. Amen. Okay, because
another,
of our time.
Another one is about the apostleship. You know, you are preaching about apostle. There's no apostle in this yes.
In this
so there is a pastor. I was preaching to the pastor. I was telling the pastor, how can you say that you are apostle? The pastor said that Jesus came to him and tell him that he's apostle.
Joab spoke to Ahimaaz. Did he not speak to Ahimaaz? Did Joab not tell Ahimaaz, run? Sister Confidence, did you understand what I said?
Yes.
Joab told Ahimaaz to run also.
Yes.
You don't understand me. Joab sent Cushi, also told Ahimaaz, go. So, we are not doubting anything. He's saying that Jesus appeared unto him. But by this teaching, you should be able to place him that he's an Ahimaaz and not a Cushi. Praise the living God. Church, let's bow our heads. Further questions will be taken on Thursday. Join our program. Some of us don't join our program on Thursday. 7 p.m. on Thursday, send your questions. We have enough time to take questions every Thursday. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us. Father, open my eyes that I may see. Keep revealing your truth to me. Keep revealing your truth to me. Keep revealing your truth to me. Open my eyes that I may see. Talk to the Lord.
Pastor Lumide, please, if there is any more question, we can still take some questions. Please. It's very, very important. If this is all the sermon we hear today, we close. We'll go home. Yes.
Shalom, church. Praise
Pastor Lumide, come and answer your question. Everyone should give account of himself. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for the opportunity. Pastor Limde, God bless you. My question is simple.
The question is simple.
It's simple, but I just want to have your candid.
Then the answer will be very simple,
yes,
too.
Yes. Now, we know that God gives gift to men, and God called people to serve him in various capacities. Now, you have a child who is growing, and he or she has seen a minister standing with God that he or she loves. And then you ask your daughter or your son, what would you like to be in future, like we do in schools? Someone will say, I want to be a pilot. The other will say, I want to be a doctor. And your child said, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. Innocent child, what would be your candid advice to God bless you.
Thank God he's a child. as he grows into maturity, he will understand better.
He's
a child now.
Yes.
You keep saying amen, amen. When I was a boy, I wanted to be many things. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a pilot. Another time I changed it. I said I wanted to be a doctor. Another time I changed it. I want to be this. I want to be that. As you grow into maturity, you understand your path. Because ministry is not by desire. The fivefold ministry is by ordination. You are born into that office. You don't desire it. That's exactly our case study, Ahimaaz and Cushi. Ahimaaz desired to be the one to be used, but because he was not prepared for it. But Cushi, on the other hand, it was just told, go and tell the king what you have seen. So also, the fivefold ministry, the ministers of the fivefold order, are born with that grace. They are born with it. It's not by desire. God bless you, man.
Thank you, sir. Please, my question is, I want to know, can one be receive the gift of the Holy Spirit without being converted?
You mean spiritual gifts?
Yes.
Without being, of course.
Yes.
You can, Psalm 68 verse 18, we refer to it. He giveth his gift unto all men, even to the rebellious. You can have the gift of the Spirit without being converted. An example we use was Balaam. Balaam was not even a Jew. He was not subjected to the law of Moses. And yet he had a genuine prophetic gift. He could even inquire. So you can have spiritual gifts without being converted. We've been taught properly about that in this church.
Let me be sure of what you are asking. Ask that question again.
Can one receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit without being properly converted?
You mean these gifts of vision?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because you said the gift. Because there is Acts 2:38, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's different from the gifts of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Finish, eh?
My question.
Go ahead.
My question is, on this topic, the anointed one in the end time. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, Chide Berry.
Yes. Pastor Olumide said, the gift might be genuine. The gift might be genuine. Yes. But the spirit behind the gift might be in error. So my question is, those who are beneficiaries of those gifts, what is their fault in the thing behind the man operating the gift? Maybe they are there because of the gift. They don't follow the error that is practicing. They don't want to benefit. Maybe the gift of prophecy, and they are not in the error that is teaching them.
Okay, you are speaking of a scenario where you are staying under a minister operating a gift, but you are not following his error.
Yes, sir.
That means you are not following the spirit of error, but you are benefiting from the gift he has. And be sure that you are not following the spirit of error. It's possible.
It's not possible. What are you doing there? Because that's the scripture. I think you quoted it, Deuteronomy 13.
Yes, sir. Did you read 13 from verse 1?
From verse 1. If there arise
among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he speak unto thee.
If the wonder, the gift, the power come to pass.
Saying.
Then after that, hear his teaching.
Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams.
See, how will you stay under a preacher that is preaching error? You are not following the error, you are following what? Who told you gift will lead you to heaven? Who told you gift will show you the way? The purpose of the gift is to make you come and listen and follow him. So, when you hear the gift is genuine and he's taking you away, it is evidence that you should leave that place. That is the purpose. Because that place will not lead you to heaven. Go ahead.
Okay, you've heard from Daddy. God bless you.
Shalom, sir. We bless God for that teaching. It was very clear and well understood. Mine may be a personal question, what I'm going through. You are in the midst of people in Catholic family. Issues come up. They want you to pray along with them, agree with them. You are now praying over an issue.
One moment. I hope you are asking concerning his teaching on the anointed ones.
Yes, he's anointed.
The anointed ones.
Some of them, they have dreams. When you are praying an issue, they come up with revelation. But the issue I'm having now, I'm not convinced that praying together with them, I hope I'm not wasting my time. Because after praying, they say, you may go, let us round it up. They ask me to pray their own. I say, I can't pray your own. No. They say, oh yeah, go, as we have finished. They go to their Mary and round up the prayer we say together. I'm not saying, but what, you people, why am I always, they will call me, oh yeah, lead. When I'm with them, I will lead, because after we say in Jesus' name, they will now say, okay, let's say divine mercy, let's say they will add it. I'm now beginning, we pray and they invite me to pray. I don't know.
No, wait, sister, what is the reason for your prayer together? Because you're members of the same family?
Yes, like when they believe, like now.
No, not believe. Why are you praying together in that group?
We are praying together.
Because you're members of the same
mercy.
Family?
Yes, sir.
Because you are members of the same family?
Yes, sir.
But you all believe in Jesus?
We believe in Jesus.
And then when you finish praying, then now pray Hail Mary.
They are divine mercy and Hail Mary. But they say, I will not be part. Say, I got to leave now. We will not round it.
So they have even recognized you now. So you go your way. You don't have a problem.
What of the one I pray with them? Will God answer it?
Why not? Even okay. For your sake, God will show them mercy.
Okay, thank you.
Who again?
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Daddy, good morning, sir. Pastor Olumide, thank you, sir. It's the last slide that I want to ask question about.
Last what?
Last slide of Pastor Olumide.
Under
conclusion, he said power, gifts, and manifestations. So I just want to see the statement complete and then answer my question. He said gifts, power, manifestation of the spirit, are not evidence of right standing with God. Now, I want to ask, the mystery of God is still as in, I'm not yet to understand it. If God can give gifts, can give power, and manifestation is there, then this person is not yet standing with God rightly. Then God is doing this. What is the mystery that God wants to achieve to do all these things?
Well, two reasons. Number one, we are called according to the purpose of God. And God can use anybody. He created us. Every human being, any existing thing, God created it. And he even created evil against the evil day. When he needs you for anything, he will use you. He will use an animal to talk to a blind prophet. He can use anybody. He even used a fish from the water to settle the bill of Jesus Christ. He can use anything. He created us for his purpose. Again, in Psalm 68, verse 18, he said, he giveth gifts to all men, even to the rebellious. Yet for the rebellious also.
That the Lord God might dwell among them.
This is the reason. What is the reason?
That the Lord God might dwell among them.
That the Lord God might dwell among them. So that people will see the evidence of the supernatural existence of God. The existence of the supernatural God. So, the songwriter said, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pledge all things. They are and were created." Anymore? Thank you very much. No more questions. Eh? Okay, you have been standing, yes. That is the reason. That is, okay. Who is on the line?
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Olumide. God really bless you for this wonderful teaching. Since I have a little clarification concerning this spot or emphasis that you made on the spirit of Ahimaaz, we align it partly that they fall within the permissive will of God. If that is so, can we also say that such spirit is also a rebellious spirit? Can we categorize the Ahimaaz spirit to be in line with a rebellious spirit?
Ahimaaz,
yes,
it's not rebellion. It is doing God a service without it being the will of God. He desires to serve God. He desires to serve God. He desires to do a service for the king without being appointed for it. It's overzealousness. So it was not sin he committed, but he was doing a job he's not called to do. So he has done the service foolishly. He's a foolish virgin. God bless you. Yes, sister?
Shalom, sir. My question is that how will one know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error?
How will you know?
Yes.
How will you know the spirit of truth?
And the spirit of error.
If you want to know whether this is of God or not, give them the word test, the Bible. It's our guide. It's our guide. That is why Apostle Paul, in fact, even Isaiah said it in chapter 8 and verse 20.
To the word and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
And verse 7, Galatians chapter 1.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
Uh-huh.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed.
As we said before, so say now again.
Yes.
If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received,
yes,
let him be accursed.
So how do you know whether this is the truth or not? It must not be contrary to the Bible. And also, when you say, how will you know? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3.
But he that prophesieth,
that is the prophecy. Now, how do we know this prophecy is of God?
Speaketh unto men to
edification,
and exhortation, and comfort.
If what they are saying does not edify the hearer, does not comfort the hearer, instead it creates a confusion. Go and scatter families, scatter home, bring fear upon you. If it is not so, if it is, that is what is achieving, it is not of God. God bless you. The last person now.
Sir.
Oh, okay, we have a sister. Three standing, that's all, please, that's all. Note those standing. Don't bring any foolish virgin to stand up when the door is closed.
Sir, I just want to ask this question, sir. Because the question is, this particular topic, I'm just confused about something anyway, because of my studies. I just want to ask, is God behind the spirit of error and truth? Because I thought God is a true God. He's not behind anything error. So is God behind the spirit of error and truth? Because I just want to know whether God is behind the spirit of error. Because I'm surprised when they are saying whether God.
Very interesting question. Let me answer you. It's a very interesting question. Very, very interesting question. That is where you see the depth of the mystery of redemption. And that is what our Sunday school teacher, Pastor Lumide, today is trying to bring out. The anointed ones at the end time. Now, listen, who anointed them? Now, you will see, if we are the end time, there is a revival, there is a rain of revival and anointing that is poured out in James chapter 5, verse 7.
Be patient, therefore, brethren.
Listen very well.
Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth.
Yes.
And had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain.
So the harvest will only take place after, as a product of an anointing that will release. Please listen very carefully. Because there is a parable in Matthew 13 from verse 47.
Again,
to
the kingdom of
50 or
the,
so.
The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net.
What that, is it? Like what?
Unto a net.
What, okay.
That was cast into the sea and gathered of every
evangelism
kind.
That went and gathered all manner of people into the church. They are all Christians. Eh?
Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing.
Please listen very carefully. The reason he explained it in this Matthew 13, 47, as a net that gather all manner of things into the church, letting us know that the church is a mixed multitude. And in Matthew, that same Matthew 13 and verse 30, Jesus Christ gave that picture again there.
Let both grow together.
Both the tares and the wheat. The owner of the farm planted wheat. If you read it from 24. Okay, it was read today. Thank you. It was read already today. So, should we uproot them? He said, no, let all of them grow together. That is why you see all manner of things going on in the church. Yeah. But he said, now listen, in that parable, he said, he will send who?
The reapers.
I'm answering your question. Who will send the reapers?
The master. Let both grow together unto the harvest. Verse 30.
Yes.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
Please, go to verse 36. He is explaining verse 30.
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.
Yes.
He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Uh-huh. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Uh-huh. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels.
Ahu.
The angels.
Uh-huh.
As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world.
What will happen?
The Son of Man shall send
who?
Forth.
Who will send?
The Son of Man.
Who will send?
The Son of Man.
Who will send?
The Son of Man.
Will do what?
Shall send forth his angels.
What will they do?
And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity.
Uh-huh.
And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So how does he achieve it? So the separation time. There are ministers that are ordained, anointed for it. And it is achieved in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. To get the proper picture, read it from verse 7.
But for the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Listen very well.
Only he will now let that we let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Now, listen very well.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not.
Why? There is a group of people that receive not
the love of the truth.
The love of the truth.
That they might be saved.
That they might be saved. That is who they are. They are worshiping God, serving God, but they want to serve by their own terms. They have no love for truth. Even the apostle gave that prophecy that told telling Timothy should preach the word, be instant and out of season, in and out of season.
For the time will come.
Why? Why?
2 Timothy 4:3.
What is the reason?
For the time will come when they will not endure.
The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but do what? But after their own lusts,
shall they heap to themselves teachers.
They will desire the kind of teachers that they want.
Having itching
ears. They have itching ears.
And they shall turn away their ears.
They will refuse to hear the truth.
And shall be turned unto
fables. And they will be following fables. Now, go back to 2 Thessalonians again. Chapter 2, let's finish that scripture.
And we taught deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
That perish, that is, in them that perish. In them that are ordained to perish. That is the proper context of that verse. Read on.
Because they receive not the love of the truth.
That what?
That they might be saved.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11.
Verse 11. And let everybody see that verse.
And for this cause.
And for this reason.
God shall send them.
Who we send?
God shall send them.
Who we send?
God shall send
them. Who we send?
God shall send them strong delusion.
To make them to do what?
That they should believe a lie.
So that they will believe a lie. And then in believing that lie, verse 12.
That they all might be damned.
Uh-huh.
Who believe not the truth,
uh-huh,
but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
An example is Ahab. Oh. Ahab killed a man to collect his land, Naboth, by the counsel of his wife, Jezebel. A prophecy went, because you did that, this is what you will die. This is how you will end up. Judgment was put upon him. Years passed, but God watches over his word to perform it. Suddenly, Ahab decided, this land there, way there at Ramoth Gilead, he said, it belonged to Israel. Let's go and take it. He even invited Jehoshaphat together. So, but before you go for any battle, you will inquire. I preached a message that I titled Deceived by God. That is the title. Look for that sermon and see how it is possible that God will deceive you. Who does it deceive? Deceive people who have no love for truth. And so, God decided to gather his children and the whole meeting. Hey, I want to go for a battle. What shall we do now to make him go for that battle so that when you go there, he will die, according to the prophecy? And they were given idea. The Bible says, one lying spirit that goeth to and fro, seeking whom he will devour, appeared and said, I have an idea. I have a ministry. My ministry is to deceive people to go and be destroyed. I am called the spirit of error. Oh, he said, yeah, that is a good one, because he created everybody for a purpose. And so he said, okay, how will you do it? He said, I will go upon those his 400 prophets that don't tell him the truth. That I will tell them, they are prophets, so tell them to tell him that he should go, he will succeed. And then he went. Who sent the angel? I mean, the lion spirit. Who sent the lion spirit? And so 400 people were, hey, go, go, touch the Lord. Hey, go, hey, go, hey, 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 hey. Okay, now. And he went and he died. Who made Ahab to go and die? It's your question, answer.
Yes. Eh? Yes, yes, of course.
Thank
sir.
You.
Thank you, sir.
And it's still going on now. There are people that are here that don't believe the truth. Wait, Emmanuel, come. Come, tell me what you were telling me yesterday.
Thank you, sir. While we were coming to church on Friday, I entered our church shuttle bus at Jesha.
Listen very well to this wonderful testimony.
While I entered the front seat, our members were entering. Then there was a sister standing by outside. She was waiting for others to enter so she could sit at the last seat. But she was redressing herself and removed her scarf. When she did, I saw that she tinted her hair pink, the whole hair. So it caught my attention. I told her, sister, are you a new member? She looked at me and said, why do I ask? I said, but you tinted your hair. That's not our identity. She asked me, how does it concern me? Is it my business that she will choose how she serves her
she
God?
She was talking to a minister of God. She knows that he is a preacher, a minister in the church she attends. Go ahead.
So, but what surprised me is that there was a brother sitting by the first row. We have not even spent more than a minute in that discussion. The brother asked me, you that you're talking, are you sure you have entered? And surprisingly,
he was asking his preacher, his pastor, you when they preach, even as they talk, so then they talk for their heart now. You they call everybody foolish, foolish. Are you wise?
So, go ahead. But I say, brother, it has not gotten to that. Don't you know me? So our driver also was surprised. The driver asked the sister, you mean you are not a new member? So those that were seated, our church members that entered, all of them put mouth and say, I leave the woman alone. After all, that was what caught my attention. He said, after all, pastor preached that it is what you're wearing does not determine your salvation. So at that point, I decided to keep quiet because what I concluded was people don't understand what is being preached here.
Brother Emma, they understand perfectly. Those the message is meant for them, they understand it perfectly. Jesus Christ asked, why don't you understand my doctrine? Even because what? What did he say? There's a scripture in John. He that is of God does what?
Heareth God's word.
It's in the Bible.
John chapter 8.
John chapter
47. He that is of God heareth God's word.
Listen again.
He that is of God heareth God's word.
Again.
He that is of God heareth God's word.
Now listen to those other ones.
Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
Case settled. Case settled. That is why we say there is the church, first and foremost, is a mixed multitude. That is why Jesus, we finish with, say, he that has ear to hear. You can see that the test. Amen. There are people, listen, there's another scripture that says, whatever you do that is not of faith is sin.
Romans 14:23.
Read it.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is
not
of faith, is sin.
Is sin. What it means is that anything that you are doing, the meaning of that scripture, anything that you are doing and it's not by revelation, it is not accepted by God. Because you will never do it with the whole of your heart. And you are to love God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all that you have. You are not to love God or to be like Christians, like the members of the church. Well, here, they don't wear a ring, so when I'm coming, I remove it. If you are removing it so that you will be seen to be part of the ministry, God does not accept your worship. It is better those people who are wearing a ring in Christ's embassy, wearing a ring in all these funny churches, they are 1,000 times better than you. Because God looks at you as a hypocrite. You know you don't belong here. You know it. You know you don't belong here. It's true. We will say it because it is separation time. We will make this place uncomfortable for you. So that when we talk, we know we are talking to ourselves. You can see we are preaching here after service. They will go and counter what we are preaching. You, uncle, are you sure of going? You, uncle, you are not sure of going. But may God help you. Do you know why we are also soft with you? Because in that same parable, in verse 30, he said, let both grow together. No, verse 29.
But he said, nay.
Don't approach them. Why?
Yes, why you gather up the tares?
So that when you are removing the tares,
he root up also the wheat with them.
You see? Because the proper genuine child of God may, because he's influenced by a tear, begin to act like a tear. So before you know what, you condemn the person who saw a gifted brother, a gifted sister doing something and is confused. That he's anointed now and see what he's doing. That means there is nothing wrong now. Since despite what he's doing, anointing is still flowing. So me too, I go join the do now. Not knowing that you are being influenced wrongly by a tear. One of these days, when we get to heaven, some of you will hug some of us for telling you the truth. And thank us for it. Please, the last two, please.
Praise the Lord, sir. Sir, I have a sister that is very gifted, but she has not encountered this message. So she said before she came into Christ, the under Catholic, that she had an encounter in her dream where she was given, it may sound funny though, rosary and then novena to be praying. And then whosoever she ministers to, and she gives them that thing to pray with, they get solution. They're trying to convince her. She said God has not spoken to her otherwise. That it was clearly given to her in the dream. Now, even then, she doesn't even know God. Now, even God came and even told her, because then she was like in the borderline, whether to serve this or serve that. And God showed her idols, that they have eyes and they can't see, and they have that he is the Almighty God. So in this case now, how do I come in?
That is, it's a very serious matter, because she's trusting in her gift. Now, if the gift is genuine, it will lead you to all truth. If the spirit she has is genuine, see, there is another spirit that disguises as an angel of light. This is what people must know. Somebody was sharing the testimony of a young man that has visited us. I don't know whether he has come back again. That is married to a Chinese woman who was suffering depression. For any reason, anxiety and depression. And they took her for prayer counseling, and they went to a Catholic priest. And the Catholic priest gave her rosary. And anytime she feels depressed, she will carry the rosary and be reciting whatever they told her to recite, and then she will feel calm. If now you, who could tell you anything different? Where you go listen to? So she has found a solution to her problem. But the truth is this. It is the mercy of God. But she is, being deceived by that spirit so that she will continue to be worshiping the idols that Catholicism worship. And believe that she's worshiping the true God. I heard Pastor Lumide saying, all these people that go to follow all these people, if the thing there is not working, will they go there? Even those who go to Babalawo, if it is not producing results, will they go there? But there is a way that seemeth right unto man. Okay, the end of it all, you will know.
So is there no way to...
Keep praying for her. Pray for wisdom to arrest her. If she's sincere, she will see it one way or the other. God bless you. The last person, please.
Shalom to the bride. My question is that I have a telegram cable in my house. So anytime some people come to me, when they watch the bride TV, after 3 days, they will come to me. Say, this message I watched is that time I saw this for a dream, so I was confused. So there are many that are coming to me, but my question is this now. There are many of them in the Anglican, many churches, and what am I going to tell them? The United States out of the church, and if I say to them, where they are, they're going to worship. So my question now is that now, and those people that are coming to me, what is my question for them now? And I say to them, so believe in God. And they say, I cannot believe God. And many of them say, okay, let me buy the cable for you. And many of them don't have the television. And if you don't buy the cable for them, they don't have the money to buy fuel for or don't have vision. So what
is
man?
Are you living in Lagos?
No, sir. I'm from Delta.
You came from Delta?
Delta, yeah.
Which town in Delta?
From Ugeli, South.
Ugeli?
Yeah.
Where do you worship?
Yeah. People like me, I follow Blight TV in the year 2012 when I was watching online. So since I go to many churches.
Where do you worship now?
No, like me now, many of the time I don't worship in anywhere except I go to program.
God is bringing members for you to start a gathering. You are driving them away. Let them join you to worship as you are worshiping. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst thereof. And from there, this church started with four people. Four people. Even our families don't join us. Eventually, our families were convinced, they join us. Very soon, others will join you. This is how it is. Anyone that comes, say, come and join me. Come every Sunday, every Thursday. Come, let's fellowship. Then they will get to know why you are staying there and joining us online.
Yes, sir. I have done that once. So, but when I done that, I had before I look now, we almost about 15 to 10 people there in my house. So I just say, please, let's this.
I think you need counseling. And the best counselor for that is Pastor Olumide.
Daddy, the sister that just asked a question concerning a sister that saw a Catholic experience. Yes. Prophet Joseph was seeing something for the woman.
Where are you? Where is the sister? Come. Now, Pastor Olumide, now he bring this topic.
Sorry, ma. God bless you. While you were asking the question, my eyes was open in the spirit to see your sister.
Clap your hands. Now, this is a church.
My eyes was open. I saw her. She was battling with two spirits. Water power was fighting her. That before she became a Christian. Water power was fighting her. Having an encounter seriously with attack. And serious attack. Serious one. Then suddenly, in a realm, God took her to show her where she belonged. The spirit of water was dragging her. And God was showing her where she belonged. The cross she saw was not to carry a cross. Was to shift her from where they were taking her to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel of God spoke to me. He said, that your sister is a genuine gifted person. And when I saw myself where a battle was going on, it's like an Anambra state, like I saw.
Yes. Anambra state. Clap your hands now, church.
And I saw a serious battle going on. And God is showing her the truth from what she know and where she come from. This is what happened. And that is why she was confused. God didn't tell her to carry the cross and be praying with the cross. This is what says the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Let her meet the prophet. Give her the phone number. She's not in Lagos. She's in Lagos. Invite her to come and see the prophet. That is why in this period, don't stand up, but let it be your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see. Sit down, sing it.
Glimpses of truth thou hast for
grace in my hands.
Blessed in my hands, a wonderful king.
Multitude, we break it down also to those who are sincerely serving God. They have the fear of God. But yet they're divided into two groups again in the church. The wise and the foolish virgins. And last week,